Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
Hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a lovely chart manager here at Billboard. You know, a pleasant chart manager to work with.
I'll go with pleasant.
There we go.
This is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts, and lots to get to this week. As always, we'll run down the top 10 of this week's Billboard Hot 100. A new top 10 for Post Malone, his first, Quavo as well. We'll look ahead to Fifth Harmony's likely debut next week on the Hot 100 with Down.
What number of people will be watching for us to see, you know, what will debut higher, Crying in the Club, which had debuted last week on the Hot 100,
right,
or Fifth Harmony, you know. Hate to make it a contest, but I guess in particular the way that the split sort of went down. Now, of course, Camila was on the Billboard Music Awards 2 days after the song came out, so, you know, at least a unique promo opportunity there.
Right. Okay, we'll get into that.
But, yeah.
Our guest this week is Charlie Quinn. Who is that? He's a radio programmer who, other than maybe the Rembrandts and the cast of Friends, is maybe most responsible for making the show's TV theme, I'll Be There For You, a huge radio hit. So we'll get into all that. What he went to the studio, he looped it from just being a TV theme, turned it into a full song. So we'll get the whole backstory of that.
Yeah, it's a good story about how, you know, maybe the some of the radio programmers were against it for a while. The band themselves wasn't really feeling it,
right,
but Charlie nevertheless persisted and turned it into a huge hit.
And we'll flash back to more TV themes. Why not? We'll just stay in TV for this week's Chartbeat Podcast. So first, though, let's get to this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
I say congratulations. Worked so hard, forgot how to vacation.
Number
9. Push me to the edge. Phantom, that's all red. Inside all white. Let's all day you ride a sled. I just want that head. My brilliant, I'm mad. A brilliant, her man. No. Everybody got some.
Number 8. Number 7.
A minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Number 6.
Percocet, Miley Percocet, represent, gotta represent. Chase a chick, never chase a bitch, chase no bitch, mask on.
Number 5.
I'm in love with the shape of you.
Number 4.
Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down.
Number 3. Number 2. and number one.
And topping the Hot 100 once again this week, Despacito, Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, featuring Justin Bieber, number one for a third week in a row. And if you thought the song was unstoppable before, well, it is just getting stronger. Up, you know, once again, surging in activity across the board. Here.
Up another 8% at number one, and the songs from numbers 2 through 5 are all down. So everything that's really close right now to Despacito is getting further away. It's building its lead. So it looks like it's got a good chance to be number one, certainly again next week. It could really be in for a long run. One song we have to watch out for, and this is what keeps happening. Every time there's a Bieber song at number one, it looks like the song that could replace it is another Bieber song. So new Bieber music coming out, if you're hearing this on Thursday, June 8th, tomorrow, June 9th, new David Guetta Bieber collaboration.
Yeah, you know, it makes for an interesting strategy because even though none of these songs are from a Bieber album, so it, you know, it doesn't kind of work in the exact same way, though the fact that you have, you know, one singer on, you know, what feels like almost every month in sort of this, I guess you want to call it the Chainsmokers model of release, right. That he's on all these songs, and not only is he, you know, continually kind of out there, but every song is a hit. There are a lot of artists out there who, you know, for better or for worse, you can find every month or 6 weeks or so on different songs, right. But nobody, at least in recent memory, has been able to, you know, pile on this many hits. I know a few weeks ago, if you guys tuned into a podcast, we talked about how, you know, Bieber has really scored more hits post Purpose than he had with Purpose.
Right.
So it's just kind of, you know, incredible that, you know, A, that the team is not trying to lighten up at all. You know, they're not trying to give him a break. I mean, not that they're like maliciously trying to work him to death, but, you know, some people often in this climate are worried about overexposure, but it seems not only to be not a problem for Bieber, but, you know, working for him.
Yeah.
People are hungry for Bieber.
That's exactly it. There just seems to be so much appetite for these songs. And they're great songs. They're hit songs. Despacito, I'm the One. They're perfect summer songs. As we tape this, we have not heard the Guetta Bieber song. Assuming with that combination, that star power, it's got to be something that's hit-worthy, summer hit. So it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility that once again he has a chance, maybe we'll see what the numbers are, to knock himself out from number one again.
Okay, and can I ask, a side question, Gary? You know, this is one of the things where, you know, 3-4 years ago, no one would have predicted Bieber could be this kind of hit machine. What do you think, you know, in the past 2 years happened that not only, you know, brought him back, but brought him back in a way that is bigger, better than, you know, some people are arguing that he might be the most valuable player in music right now.
Right. Well, I think a couple things. He did go away. He had kind of a break. So I think whatever ill will, and some of that was just what, based from socially, from some immature stuff he did. So I think it was sort of an image thing. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just lay low for a while. He did that. And then he also came back with really starting the Trop House sound. Where Are You Now kind of became this surprise hit. And then that led to the songs On Purpose, What Do You Mean, Sorry. Suddenly the sound really worked for him. We were starting to hear so much of this from other people. And there you go. I mean, I don't think anyone could have predicted this type of comeback, though, just from where it was. I mean, he did that Comedy Central roast where it was almost a little awkward because he kind of asked to be roasted, which was maybe a little different to begin with.
Okay, to be fair, Martha Stewart killed on that. But yeah, definitely, again, seems like it's going to be another hot summer for Bieber. Obviously, he had I'm the One, which people were talking about as a contender for Song of the Summer when it first came out, you know, kind of tuned in right for that Memorial Day weekend kind of vibe. Despacito, as we see, still number one on the Hot 100. And then I think maybe the song is called To You, the Bieber.
That's Guetta the hashtag,
song.
Yeah. It was the number two and the letter U.
That very Prince-like of him. And give a shout out to Post Malone, whose congratulations song featuring Quavo of Migos hits the top 10 for the first time. You know, Post Malone has been one of those artists that, you know, people may not have had their eye on. I mean, not only has the song, you know, been building week after week, but the album has not left the top 25 of the Billboard 200.
Right.
Which the album Stony came out late at the end of 2016. And, you know, it's one of those albums, again, that maybe not didn't get the buzz and the flash and sort of the fanfare that some of these other artists, you know, of course, the Eds and the Drakes and people have. But it's been consistent week after week. And glad to see that, you know, in particular, it's paying off with this song.
Fifth Harmony's Down should definitely debut on the Hot 100 next week. So main buzz about that is it's the first single by the group since Camila Cabello left last year. Quick mention, Trevor, they were here last week. You brought them up from the lobby, right?
I did. It was a big kind of production because they had just come off Good Morning America. They were coming through here on the sort of media publicity tour that, you know, most people kind of do on single release day. There are about 20 people, you know, all together with the publicist and the manager and the glam squad that, you know, and all the crew that was there. But I mean, yeah, they just needed some help. So I volunteered to go down, met the girls. They were all very nice. Allie, shout out to Allie in particular. She was very sweet. She said thank you very much when I opened the door for her. You know, sometimes some people just kind of brush by expecting it. So in particular, Allie, Fifth Harmony.
And you were a gentleman.
She was a doll.
You held the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course I was. Did I just like ruin my cred by calling her a doll? Is that old school? But she was very nice. So again, Allie, they were all very nice. Love them all, but a particular shout out to Allie.
All right, that was your special connection.
That was my moment.
All right, so the song will debut. It's the first single they've put out since Camila left in December. So, you know, there's been a lot of buzz on how will Fifth Harmony do now that they're, as people call them, Fourth Harmony, you know, the four members after.
Yeah, interesting how that name is almost like predicated on how many people are in that group.
Right.
I mean, you wonder, I'm sure they didn't think about changing the name at all. But
well, there are so many people online were saying, I want to be the fifth member. So many stars on Twitter were tweeting. So let's look other groups historically, because as we always say, Chartbeat specifically, we look at a lot of chart history and see if something that happened in the past can predict a trend going forward. So all we can really do in this case is look at other groups that had members leave while they were in the middle of hit runs. Fifth Harmony was coming off Work From Home, their biggest hit last year, and then a few months later, they lose one of their key members. It's a little different in some cases than where there's one specific lead singer, because everyone has handled lead vocals in Fifth Harmony.
Camila had, I mean, she'd done the duet with Shawn Mendes,
right,
that people, while she was still in the group, so that kind of gave people the first inkling that maybe she, of course, could go solo, would want to go solo. And then, you know, I guess you can't sort of avoid the fact that somehow something about her always made her seem like sort of the standout or the most likely target. She may have had a little more Twitter followers, a little more mention. So, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall there, it seems like, for a little bit.
So how do groups do when a key member leaves? Does it mean it's the end of the group? Does it just stop everything cold? Or do they go on to have more hits? And the person who leaves, do they go on to have hits as well? So let's look at three acts, Trevor, who've gone through this. One from key, actually, from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Start in the 60s.
The best way to predict a 2010 success.
Well, the original girl group, right? The Supremes. Maybe the biggest hit girl group of the 60s. So they had 31 Hot 100 hits while Diana Ross was still the lead singer. She left. How did the group do after that? After Someday We'll Be Together? So after 31 hits together.
That includes 12 number ones, by the way.
Right. Most by any American group.
Yeah. Still to this day. Right. No one has done it since.
So 31 hits together. She leaves. They still went on to have 14 Hot 100 hits after her. We should, if we break it down a little bit further, two top tens, no number ones. So certainly didn't hit the same heights, but not like they disappeared. They still had a whole run of hits throughout the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting case, too, because, of course, you know, Diana was always primed to be the superstar and the focus of the group.
Right.
You know, unlike a Fifth Harmony, which, you know, is a little unique in the fact that all five members, you know, trade off and all have parts, that there's not really one established lead. But, yeah, I mean, of course, Diana Ross, you know, was the jewel of the group. And I mean, the fact that they didn't fall apart completely or even disband is almost a real testament to
right.
you know, that they were able to carry on, that, you know, the Supremes' name wasn't just Diana Ross.
Right.
And I mean, of course, I'm sure, you know, they got plenty. I'm sure Mary Wilson has plenty of royalties and everything hanging on there. But
right. Yeah. And if we compare who won the battle, if we put it that way, Diana Ross went on to 40 solo Hot 100 hits, 12 top tens, including 6 number ones. So in some sense, she sort of took the number ones with her.
Wow. She got the number ones in the custody battle. Okay. All right. But, you know, hey, but. Something also to be said about. I mean, she had 6 number ones, nothing to be shy about. But the fact that the group had 12 in, you know, a 5.5-year span, I mean,
right.
you know, they were them together is the most powerful kind of unit of that.
If anything, they just ran up against the time of the Beatles. If we weren't looking at the 20 number ones that the Beatles had in that span, the 60s would have completely belonged to the Supremes. We'd be looking at that as still is a totally amazing feat. It just sometimes gets a little overshadowed by what the Beatles did at the same time.
Yeah.
Group that had a lot of success in the 70s, and then kind of their lead singer, but they've also had different lead singers at different times. Chicago, 39 Hot 100 hits before Peter Cetera left. It was actually kind of interesting. He left on odd terms. He maybe wanted to stay, but he was kind of looking to do a type of situation where he could come back and record with them sometimes. He just didn't want to do all the touring, so they just decided that really wasn't the way they wanted to go. So he was out of the band in the mid-80s. They went on to have 9 Hot 100 hits, including 5 top tens, and number one, Look Away, which was the number one song of all of 1989. So as much as Peter Cetera was recognizable as the voice of Chicago, they still had decent amount of hits late 80s after that.
I mean, do you think also, I guess some of these groups, once a lead singer leaves, I wonder how that changes, you know, does that sort of, you know, call for pause, make everybody think, you know, maybe at this point, maybe we all should kind of just do our own thing. Maybe we've just been forcing it too long or something. I'm
or
not
it can,
sure.
It can open up opportunities for other people. That's what in Chicago, Jason Scheff, he wound up taking more lead vocals, Bill Champlin, same thing. So it just, you know, created more room for other band members. Also, Peter Cetera. So he went on to 13 Hot 100 hits and also 5 top tens, 2 number ones. So after they split, Chicago and Peter Cetera both had 5 top 10 Hot 100 hits. He had 2 number ones. They had 1. So one more
so
number one.
Everybody
Peter.
Still got a number yeah. one, though, you know? So yeah, that's a pretty amicable split.
And one more act, big in the 80s, into the 90s, and into the 2000s as well, that I'll mention, New Edition, Bobby Brown, in the band, wound up out of the band by the end of 1985. You wrote about that recently.
Yeah, that was a – they basically just kicked Bobby Brown out of the group. I think it was getting a little too rambunctious for them. And
Bad
you know,
Boy of Boston.
The Bad Boy of Boston himself. And you know, you definitely can tell that. I mean, especially the first album that he really had that showed himself, Don't Be Cruel, his second solo album, you know, you could tell that music was not, you know, the same kind of New Edition, kind of lighter, you know, pop R&B. He definitely wanted to do something more New Jack Swing influenced, hip hop influenced, a little, you know, rougher, the lyrics way more sexual. So, you know, a little bit of a split there, but, you know, Bobby obviously took a different energy and a different turn and found a different crowd, but it
yeah.
worked out.
They've had one top 10. Without Bobby Brown, they've had 4 with him, New Edition. So he certainly was there for New Edition's bigger success. On his own, 13 Hot 100 hits, 9 top 10s, 2 number ones. So Bobby Brown had just much more success, I'm going to say, on his own.
But we got to also give a shout
out.
You got
to give me the on his own reference.
Yeah.
On our own.
I'll high five, Gary.
Thank you.
But I mean, you also kind of give a shout out to New Edition for being a little weird in how they splintered off, because there were multiple, you know, people who went on to solo careers from there. Johnny Gill,
right.
You know, after he came in, went off to a successful R&B solo career as well. You got Belle Biv DeVoe, three members of New Edition who formed their own splinter group. I mean, the song Poison is just, you know, one of those like staples from early 1990s R&B that everybody knows. So interesting there as well that, you know, everybody was able to kind of find their own lane a little bit. Right. And it wasn't just the Bobby Show and the others. You know, everyone made it work.
And they've come back together at different times. He's been in and out of the band and
they certainly keep
the band most recently.
Yeah, and they certainly keep on tour a lot with, you know, a lot of the rotating members and Bobby joins them as well. So good to see, especially, you know, after sort of some of that weird animosity in the 80s that, you know, they can put it aside and grow up and get back together.
So what does that tell us about Fifth Harmony? Does that mean they're going to have a whole bunch of hits? Camila will have a whole bunch of hits? Always comes down to the music. After all that.
I mean, it'll be most interesting to see, I think, particularly when the Camila solo record comes out, you know, what kind of sound she is, you know, honing in on for sure. And if it's going to be the same kind of thing, I mean, you think that perhaps if she left the group, she wanted to do something different. And, you know, whatever Fifth Harmony was going towards was not her lane. So it'll be interesting to see if they find themselves competing for the same space or if they can, you know, open up two different lanes and hopefully both take advantage of them.
And we'll see. So far, Fifth Harmony's had 7 Hot 100 hits, all with Camila. Dan will be the first one after her. They've peaked as high as number 4 with Work From Home. Camila has also peaked as high as number 4 with Bad Things.
Yeah.
So a little tie at the moment.
That'll be interesting. Who will break the number 4 tie first?
And Lauren debuts this week. She becomes the second member of Fifth Harmony to chart solo. She's featured on Halsey's Strangers. Debuts number 100 this week.
Fact.
Did you hold the door for Lauren?
By definition, I guess I did.
All right. So we'll see what happens next week. Fifth Harmony on the Hot 100. Let's flash back. Go to our special guest this week, our industry insider interview, Charlie Quinn. We mentioned at the top of the podcast, programmer, long time in radio. Creative program director, didn't just play what record labels were telling him to play back in 1995.
He was the rebel man himself.
He went off on his own, decided that a song he thought could be a hit, really could be big, took it into his own hands, literally in the studio, turned the Friends theme, I'll Be There For You, into a huge hit. Everyone knows the theme, but you may not know the whole backstory. We didn't until we talked to Charlie and found out all about that. So Charlie Quinn, radio program director on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Charlie Quinn, thank you so much for joining us here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast.
My pleasure.
People probably don't know the whole backstory of how a radio programmer really set in motion the Friends theme, going from just a TV theme to becoming a 2-month number one radio hit. Tell everyone, Charlie, what was your involvement? How did it start? Take us into the studio with what you did with the song.
Okay. Well, you know, it was we had been WYHY Y107 for years. I came in 1994 into Nashville, where that station was, as the program director. And within about a year, January of 1995, or maybe even November. I can't remember the date that we were doing this, but I had just changed the radio station's call letters to WRBW, The River. We had just been acquired by another company, so we were in a brand new building, all new studios. My music director, Tom Peace, for The River, called me into the studio one day and said, I love that theme song for Friends, and it's only like 28 seconds. And he said, I have an idea. He said, what if we simply spliced it together and used three different versions of it, using just the refrain from it in the third version of it, and to wrap it up. And, we've got a minute and 42 or a minute and 52 second song there. It'd be fun to maybe try to play that. And I said, you know something, not only am I going to play it without this song even existing, I'm moving it right to the number one song on the radio station. I'm going to play it, I think it was 120 times a week.
Oh, wow.
And Greg Olson, I think, was the rep at the time for, it was East West, I think, East West or Atlantic. Greg Olson was the rep at the time, and he suddenly saw something that had no BDS identification to it show up on our charts, and spinning it 120 times a week was, he was shocked by it, didn't know what it was, didn't have an identification, just, you know, a numeric code for it, and that was it. And some people monitored it from the trades, figured out what we were doing, and Greg tried to get us to stop playing it. But it was just a great song. It was catchy. It was fun. I just thought, you know, what a great song this is, and it's not being released. And we started getting pressure from the rep to get it off the radio station. Hey, you know, the thing is, you're not doing anyone any good for this. The Rembrandts have moved on. They did this as a favor to the producers of the TV show, but this is not the direction they want to go with the music. They were trying to reinvent themselves after their first hit many years before, and trying to go much more in a rock alternative direction. And the song got pressure for, I guess, about 6 months, and we just kept playing it. We played it to death. And finally, some radio stations around the country started calling and saying, can I get a cut of that? Can I get a copy? And so we sent copies to several big radio stations, Z100 New York and Miami and several other big cities, and at their request, and they started playing it. So we were building on a revolution of getting this song made and getting it real. I think it was around May of 1995 that the label acquiesced and said, hey, look, we're going to go ahead just to get you to take this 1 minute and 52 second, you know, chopped up version off the air. We're going to produce it, and we're going to put it out. And they actually had to stop pressing of the album that they had in the can, because they'd already begun to put it on the presses and make copies. And they had to add this as a Starburst. They put a Starburst label on it, and basically said, including "I'll Be There for You," the hit TV song from Friends. Added it to the album and put it back in process and released it. We had a version for ourselves, and you know, the end result was that this is something that became a phenomenon. The time it was Casey Kasem's American Top 40, which had been around forever, and for 10 straight weeks, because we aired that show, for 10 straight weeks, Casey had the number one song, is "I'll Be There for You," and every time he would talk about how the song began and give us credit for it. So it was exciting, and the song went to the top. Now, you probably have seen the article in Blender and so forth. It's now one of the, I believe, 15 most hated songs of all time, probably because it just got beat to death, you know? Yeah. It has some of the gimmick qualities of like a Rick Rolling, the Never Gonna Give You Up, and things like that. I mean, it's kind of... when you think about it, it's not a serious song. It's a silly song. It's a fun song. It's just a summertime feeling song. That's it.
It's so weird. Labels, their whole mission is to create hits, and here you're saying that they were fighting you to stop playing this song. They didn't want it to be a hit.
You know, it's crafting of an artist, and it's A&R imaging and so forth of an artist trying to light new heat under them with a different audience. It didn't fit what they were doing, and I understand, but in latter years, it probably took a year or two later, about 96 or 97, Greg Olson came in with the band, and they presented us with the gold record that you have a picture of in recognition of that. And when they were interviewed about it, they said, you know, we hated this. We hated you were doing this because we were trying to go another direction. But frankly, we're all thanking you now because that's basically made our retirement.
What made you add it, Charlie? It's such a high rotation. It's one thing to maybe sample it, but it sounds like you just really believed in this as a hit.
Well, the whole idea behind it was I knew if we played it a few times and said, hey, this is, you know, a gimmick, this is a, you know, morning show redo or something to that effect, you know, we'd get a couple of spins and it probably wouldn't get enough exposure to make it move. And I just felt like this is one of those songs that was catchy and everyone liked it. The show was red hot. You know, I needed to, you know, if you're going to follow pop culture in the direction it goes, you're going to reflect your audience, then you've got to step out. You've got to be one step ahead. And I felt like I had something that could be a trendsetter moment for this particular show and for the band. And I wanted to be a part of it. We all do what we do for some level of recognition. And there's no question that we were thinking in terms of this could put our radio station on the map nationally with the industry, and we love that.
It's also a tradition of programmers doing that. It doesn't happen too much, but I'm sure you remember the story. It was programmer Gary Guthrie who mixed Neil Diamond and Barbra Streisand's version of You Don't Bring Me Flowers, turned that into a number one hit as well.
Yes, absolutely. It was integration that very few people have done because, you know, we're now in a situation where there's a lot more to lose. Radio companies now are constantly in litigation over copyright laws and so forth, and it's a much more safe ball world now for radio, so things like that wouldn't probably pass muster with legal, but you know, at the very least they'd be asking for permissions first on something like that. But it was a different time.
It was also a different time when TV themes were catchy themes. Now a lot of shows don't even have musical themes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's what they've done is, again, as things change, they decided with television in a lot of cases just to get right to the chase immediately and get people hooked and get people sticking through the show.
Yeah, a lot of more instrumental kind of themes going on these days. I mean, they're pretty brief, but yeah, a lot of them are maybe classical focused or something without, you know, no pop songs for sure that, you know, bands or even solo artists are really going after.
It's definitely something that had its day, and you know, progress has changed the opportunities, but other opportunities are out there to reinvent, and to bring back again. It's just that this was a moment in time, and I knew it was, and I knew it wasn't going to come back, and it was just something that we savored to this day.
How long did you guys like keep the song in rotation? You obviously started it out. Did you keep playing it throughout the whole run of the show? Did you do anything special when it was canceled? And I guess not canceled, but it ended 2004.
Yeah, we started playing it. I believe it was sometime between November of '94 and January of '95, and continued to play it until we struck a deal with Greg. He had the single. He said he would, if we would have it in like a week, please stop, you know, the rotation on it, with his promise. We did, and that would have been April 15th or so. For about 2 weeks, you know, we were done. But I mean, that's months of airplay at 120 spins a day, and we just kept it going.
And when they told you to stop playing it, Charlie, it sounded like you said you fought that. You said, no, we're going to keep playing it. We believe in it.
Yeah, they never delivered a cease and desist. You know, we just basically kept going with it and kept arguing back and forth with them. But it's hard to argue when you have something that people want and it's not available on the shelves. And that type of record pressure, you know, bends to the finance side of it in a lot of cases, and that's what it did. They didn't see the decision to stop us as being a good decision at that time. And, you know, we had to wait about 2 weeks for the single. When the single came out, we dropped the old one and went right to the single and dropped it into a regular rotation, into a regular status.
So Rembrandts eventually thanked you. They gave you the gold record. Did you ever hear from any people with NBC or with friends? It seems like they should thank you as well.
No, you know something? I've never heard from anyone involving, I can't remember the name of Marta Kaufman, I think, is the one that was the producer with Friends, who had a relationship with the Rembrandts and kind of talked to them about doing this as a one-off. But never from them, never from the band, never from the show. But I didn't really expect that. I mean, the show was the show. I mean, you know, they weren't involved in the song other than making the music video. I'm sure that several people inside the show cast and behind the scenes knew the story and knew what was going on. But I'm not sure at that point in time. The show was such a big hit. There wasn't much left in the way of ceiling to move.
But it is kind of interesting that it's a little twofold. I mean, obviously, you know, the show's huge popularity helps the theme song out. But, I mean, it's one of those theme songs where if you don't know Friends, if you don't know, you know, who's on it or what it's about or anything, you still hear that song and you're like, oh, my God, I know that song. So in a weird way, like, yeah, you know, both of them complement each other and something that's pretty unique.
It really is. It's, as I said, I mean, the thing is, it's just one of those moments in time. And, you know, we all search for that moment that will be, you know, etched in some form of history so that you have something there that says, I was in radio for X amount of years, I did something special, something that I'll always remember. And that, I mean, that's what drives, for the most part, drives a lot of radio programmers. You want to put your signature on your radio station. And number two, you want to be recognized for the fact that that signature created and grew something special that hadn't been done before.
If Matthew Perry is listening, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, they owe you a thank you, Charlie, for what you did.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, too, especially.
Well, that's great. I'm sure they know some bits and pieces of the story, but, you know, we're radio. They're film, they're television. They're film. And, you know, I expect nothing more than to have done a good job and to have gotten recognition that my station deserved.
We're happy here to tell people the story of how you're behind one of the biggest hits of the 90s. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Charlie.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You'd be like, oh no, it's the cop. Like, if I were a cop, I would, like, just, like, play that outside somebody's house as I, like, neared in on. Like, that would drive
instead
you.
Instead of sirens.
Yeah.
It should be the cop's,
like,
theme.
That would be, I'm telling you. If I were a criminal, I'd be too afraid. I'd say, oh no, the cops.
So, Charlie Quinn, the guest here on the podcast, talking about the Friends theme. So, we just thought we'd talk about other TV themes. You just led us on a nice rendition of Cops, Bad Boys, Inner Circle, top 10 hit in 1993, number 8.
Can you believe, I mean, you know, I know that Cops is one of those things that everybody knows, but you forget, I guess, just how, it's like one of those, like, guilty pleasure kind of shows, I guess, that, you know, I mean, this is really weird, but I used to watch Cops when I was, like, 11, you know, because
yeah,
it was like, ooh, like, let's see what the cops do. But, I mean, the fact that it got to number 8, I mean, that is, and I mean, we're talking, I mean, 93 is the era of, you know, in some ways, like, some of the most sort of big process sounds. I mean, you've got, you know, obviously Whitney's huge at the time, some of these divas, Madonna, Mariah out there.
There were some reggae hits, you know, though. UB40 was big that same summer with,
yeah,
Can't Help Falling in Love. Baby, I Love Your Way by Big Mountain the next year would be a reggae hit. So it was kind of a little moment there in the early to mid-90s. And also,
fair.
Inner Circle's other hit after that. It wasn't as big. It got to number 16. But in some ways, it felt kind of as big. I remember Sweat.
Some number ones that TV has helped inspire.
All right, let's go way back. 1976, theme from SWAT, Rhythm Heritage.
And also in 1976, 76 apparently getting to be a pretty good year for TV themes in the U.S. Welcome Back. Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Welcome Back, Cotter?
I never did.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
John Travolta.
Wound up being his breakout role.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because Saturday Night Fever was barely, what, the next year,
really. It was the next year.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, big show, catchy theme, and yeah, there was just a lot of that in the 70s. It was just sort of a heyday for sitcoms, and they all had these catchy themes. There were, a lot of them were written by people who had written hits before, so a lot of work was put into these TV songs. It's not just not a coincidence that there are so many catchy themes from that era. They were written to be 60 or 30 seconds of just absolutely hooking you in from the start.
I mean, that's how you know, if you were running around the house or whatever and you heard that theme, oh, let's go jump in front of the TV because, you know, whatever's coming on. Kind of is the same theme with the next number one Hot 100 hit, jumping ahead from 76, almost 10 years before we had another one that's in 1985, talking about the Miami Vice theme from Jan Hammer.
Interesting one because not just a TV theme, an instrumental. So that's a pretty rare combination. Instrumental TV theme going to number one on the Hot 100. That show was so huge back then that wasn't really that surprising.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows, I mean, particularly the power of that because, you know, at 85, you're talking about, I mean, people like Springsteen are out, you know, I mean, We Are the World, some of these huge singles. The fact that, you know, MTV is starting to power a lot of these things, and obviously there's a music video for the Miami Vice theme. But, I mean, people just, like you were saying, just got hooked on the show. And, you know, and once you combine a great show that a lot of people watch and know and a fantastic instrumental theme song, you can break barriers on the Hot 100.
On the other side, it's not always that you need a big hit show to have a number one theme. You can have a hit song from a TV show that actually outlives the TV show itself. By the time it goes to number one on the Hot 100, the show might be canceled. That happened in 1992.
Now, how weird is that? You got a... So the show is The Heights, and the theme song, How Do You Talk to an Angel?
The way I feel about someone so fine. How do you talk to an angel? How do you hold it close?
And so by the time the song couldn't save the show. But
it just wasn't a hit. It just Fox. It was on Fox. It was the 90210 era. Party of Five.
Melrose Place.
Yeah, kinda. All in that same kind of time frame. But The Heights just didn't cut through. Just didn't. So it was released by the time the song got to number one. Show was canceled.
That's at least a good, I guess, somewhat of a consolation prize. If a fun fact for a trivia night, if nothing else.
There's been a bunch of other TV themes that have charted on other charts. Can I give my favorite TV theme of all time?
Let's go.
From my favorite TV show of all time. I'm putting this out there right now. Dukes of Hazzard theme.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Favorite
Hazzard.
Show of all time.
Number one hit in 1980 for the legendary Waylon Jennings.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law.
We actually had Tom Opat, Luke Duke, up here at a billboard a few years ago. He talked about why the show connected with people.
You know, the thing about it was when we were on the air, I mean, William Paley, who ran CBS at the time, you know, basically acknowledged that he had no understanding of why it was successful. And we were always treated kind of like a redheaded stepchild, as both at CBS and Warner Brothers. But it's something, you know, touches a string somewhere, you know, touches a chord for people, and it's harmless. Pretty much. No blood, no sex, no cursing, no nothing. Just a lot of vehicular violence, basically. And some fist fights, which are a lot of fun. I hit a few people. I hit a couple of people. I hit one guy. I hit Gerald McCready pretty good one time because I didn't know he wasn't a stuntman. And he didn't duck. And I clocked him good. I told John if he ever hit me, I'd hit him back. So John never hit me. He hit several guys. That's really, I think, one of the keys to its success was that we genuinely cared about each other and we had a good time.
Party 5 as well, having a Hot 100 hit. They survived.
Oh, that's right.
They won the TV race, but maybe not the theme song race. Closer to Free by the Bodines, hitting number 16 on the Hot 100. So at least, you know, the Heights lives on in Hot 100 history.
Yeah, you know, Fox wound up having some TV theme hits in the 90s. We were talking about the Heights, talking about Party of Five, Ally McBeal, Searching My Soul, Vonda Shepard. That was a radio hit as well. The House theme, Massive Attack, Teardrop instrumental song that wound up bubbled under the Hot 100. But yeah, Fox had a little bit of run of hits there.
Malcolm in the Middle
was another one. We're seeing less on the Hot 100 TV themes. First of all, just aren't, as we mentioned in the interview with Charlie Quinn, they just aren't what they used to be. TV shows just don't want to use 30 to 60 seconds in a quicker attention span time.
Yeah, you kind of get your little three or four notes, and then they, you know, let's keep going.
But back in 2008, Miranda Cosgrove, the theme from iCarly, sort of fitting for where TV themes have gone at this point, number 100 peak on the Hot 100.
Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to probably one of the sort of best known theme songs of this era, but people may not realize it's the theme song, Hannah Montana's Best of Both Worlds, one of the first times we heard Miley Cyrus on record. Was a digital seller, got to number 64 on digital, so didn't quite make it, you know, across the board to the all-genre charts. But still, you know, notable that it launched, if nothing else, a franchise that powered to number one hits, introduced Miley Cyrus to the world. So definitely a legacy there as well.
So many other classic TV themes from the 80s were hits either on the Hot 100 or other charts. Greatest American Hero, Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And these songs just, everyone still, I think, knows them. So many people know them now just from years of reruns. They've just become such a part of pop culture. Just one of those great mixes where TV and music come together and create something sort of cross-cultural like that.
Yeah, and now, you know, we're not seeing it, like you mentioned, as much with TV themes, but, you know, the rise of these, the streaming TV culture through Netflix, through Hulu, through Amazon, and on cable channels, HBO as well, has helped, you know, soundtracks are doing significant, you know, making significant gains. We saw it with Stranger Things. People were really big fans of that. Big Little Lies did well, especially at the season finale for that show. So it may not be, you know, that the individual songs do as much as they used to back in the day. But the albums, you know, definitely, if you can watch a whole season, I mean, you can get 9, 10 different tracks, different episodes, different moods,
right,
whatever. So that is, maybe that's the new frontier, is maybe looking, you know, more towards the album charts and seeing how some of the TV albums end up doing
right
in this kind of era.
Oh, and with Orange is the New Black coming back, that theme by Regina Spektor, You've Got Time. That was a number 15 sales hit a few years ago.
Think of all the roads, think of all the crossings, taking steps is easy, standing still.
And completely separate but sort of related, there have been hits that look like TV themes but aren't. Remember the Friends spinoff Joey?
Yes, I tried to watch and support, I really did, and then I got about four episodes in and I said,
The theme from Joey wasn't a hit, but Joey by Concrete Blonde was a hit in 1990. Good Times by Chic, like the TV show Good Times. So unrelated, but there have been hits that have TV shows as their titles.
Is that not the same song?
No, different song.
These are your good times.
Yeah, that's not the theme to Good Times.
Why not?
From the 70s.
Oh, somebody messed up there. Yeah. If nothing else, Good Times did give us that Janet Jackson cameo.
By that thinking, Trevor, Jeopardy by the Greg Kinn Band. Should that be the theme to Jeopardy every night?
No, you can't mess with
that. How about they replace that with Our Love's in Jeopardy by Greg Kinn Band for 30 seconds? People think of the answer.
You know, you can pitch it to Trebek. Let me know what he says. I don't know if he wants to mess with it, though. He's already got, you know, his iconic theme in the books.
What is a bad idea?
Gary, oh, that's good.
And one more from recent times. The A-Team, Ed Sheeran. Not related to the TV show, The A-Team.
Again, maybe missed opportunity. Maybe it inspires somebody.
What's your favorite show of all time?
Probably, oh God. I mean, all time, I can watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z, to be honest. That's a great show. But,
all right, we'll close with that.
Oh my God, the Dragon Ball Z theme. I can't, that's beautiful.
Own it, Trevor.
Oh boy. Okay, well, enjoy that. Anyone who's a non-millennial, you'll get a new experience of what anime was like back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep, we're going to take a week off, but we'll be back with Mark Medina, the program director of Z100 here in New York.
And, of course, we'll keep an eye on the charts, as always, for you guys. We'll see if Despacito can continue its summer reign and see where it goes. And, of course, by that time, the new Justin Bieber song with David Guetta should be on the Hot 100 as well. So we'll see, you know, where all this Bieber madness, all these Bieber songs shake out. Fifth Harmony we'll talk about as well, where they end up debuting with their song Down, and we'll see, you know, the race is on between Fifth Harmony and Camila. We'll see where we end up with that. A lot of summer action heating up on these charts, so be sure to tune in for that.
And now we'll tune in to your favorite TV show of all time.
We got to think about a new answer for that.
Dragon, 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 dragon.